This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Since last Memorial Day, 11 service members with ties to Massachusetts have been killed serving in Afghanistan or Iraq. They include Army Sergeant Robert Barrett of Fall River, Army Major Harold Brown of Bolton, Marine Sergeant William Kerr, who once worked as a staffer for the late Senator Ted Kennedy, and Nicholas Exaros of Yarmouth, Massachusetts. He was a corporal in the United States Marine Corps. After one tour in Iraq, Nick was deployed to Afghanistan when, in July last summer, a roadside bomb took his life. Nicholas Exaros was 21 years old. With us now is Corporal Exaros' father, Yarmouth Police Lieutenant Stephen Exaros. Lieutenant Exaros, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. It's an honor to be here.
Tell us a little bit about Nicholas and who he was and what he was like.
Yeah. Nick was like a lot of these young men and women who fight for our country. You know, there's a lot of similarities. Very disturbed and upset about what happened on September 11th when our country was attacked. And part of that generation that has volunteered to fight for our country, knowing that they will be going to war, either in Iraq or Afghanistan. And he wanted to do that ever since he was 12, to try to become a Marine and earn that title, which he did.
And it seemed like after he entered the Marine Corps, he was very quickly deployed to his first military, active military experience in Iraq. Tell us what that was like a little bit, and you know what he told you about his time there when he came home.
Yes, that's a good question. On April 22nd, 2008, you know, we didn't know, but Nick was almost killed that morning. But his life was saved by two Marines. One of them, Lance Corporal Jordan Herder from Sag Harbor, New York, and another one, Jonathan Yale, a corporal in the Marine Corps from Virginia. On that morning, Nick's camp was attacked by a suicide bomber. Basically a man in a truck filled with bombs that drove right at the base, and the two Marines stood their ground, and they killed the driver, but the truck blew up and killed the two Marines. Mm. But it didn't get into the base, and it saved, those two Marines saved 50 lives. So Nick was part of the fortunate 50, and you know, we didn't know anything about it, but we heard about it a few days later, and he really didn't talk about it, but it is, it's become a famous story in Marine Corps history, because if that had gotten through and killed 50 Marines and Iraqi police officers who were in that base, the outcome of the war in Iraq may have changed. And thank God for those two Marines who gave their lives. And since then, of course, we, you know, I met Jordan's father and brought him to Yarmouth, and you know, we never forget that when he came. And of course, we never thought that a little more than a year later, you know, he would come back to visit us.
Mm. You know, Lieutenant Exaros, I'm just thinking about how in Nick's case and in many other cases of Massachusetts soldiers, just when they come home and maybe are trying to make that transition back to civilian life, many of them found out that they were being sent back into war. And in Nicholas's case, he was sent pretty quickly back to Afghanistan. Were you surprised that he was redeployed?
Well, yes and no. You know, he's a Marine, and they're supposed to come home and stay home for about a year. So he was supposed to, you know, be at the base for a year. And when he found out that his unit 19 was going to deploy in January of 2010, he didn't want to wait, and he didn't want to deploy on a cruise. That's what they would do, in a float, where they would be on Navy ships and be ready to go anywhere in that area. He wanted to go to battle in Afghanistan, and when President Obama gave his famous speech at Camp Lejeune, he met Nicholas, because Nick was one of the fortunate 50 that had been saved by Jonathan and Jordan. Nick's friend Andrew Coville, who is a Marine corporal, who they graduated together at DY High School in 06, went to boot camp together. Then they got separated. And when he heard that Nick, that his buddy Andrew Coville was going to Afghanistan last summer, Nick, you know, went out of his way, which we didn't know at the time, but he went out of his way to get into 2-8, 2nd Battalion, 8th Marines, and go to war in Afghanistan last summer. So that's what happened. He did not go along with 1-9 and wait till January. Mm-hmm. He begged and pleaded, we found out later, to go in 2-8 and to go to Afghanistan, and we found all that out afterwards.
You know, I suppose a parent can never really stop a child from doing what he or she wants to do.
Well, that's a good point. You know, he had talked about it on the phone because he was at Camp Lejeune, and of course we're back here on the Cape, and you know, you don't want to say no, but to be honest, deep down inside, we were hoping that he didn't get that assignment. But after he passed and we met with all his Marines from the new battalion, 2nd Battalion, 8th Marines, which are called the America's Battalion, they just told us the stories and how he would just keep going to their leadership and saying he would like to go, and that he's a corporal and he'd been in war already and he would have a lot to offer. And that's what happened. And, you know, unfortunately, less than a few months after he left, our worst nightmare happened.
Lieutenant Ixaros, if I may ask, how is it that that Nick died in action? What happened?
Yeah, no, you can ask. Like others, you know, he was, you know, the tip of the spear, as they say. You know, Marines on the ground, they went to southern Afghanistan. 10,000 Marines were shipped at once. It's called a MEB, Marine Expeditionary Brigade, which only happens rarely. And when President Obama decided to go to Afghanistan and make something happen, Nick was part of that. So he, you know, he's on the ground. We don't know what they're doing. They don't, you know, get the call. They're not on a base. They're just out in the fight. And southern Afghanistan is a dangerous place, and we knew that. And, you know, he called twice. He told my wife, Lisa, his mother, don't worry about me. I'm living the dream. And he told me that he was in an MRAP, which is one of those highly special vehicles that are designed to take bombs and take a hit and survive, and I felt good about that. But on the day that it happened, July 23rd, of course, you know, we're just home here in our country doing our thing and hoping and praying that nothing happens. But on that night, you know, we got the word, and you just don't believe it. You parents, you know, you have nightmares when they're deployed. And then when you get the word, you don't know if it's just another nightmare. And you shake your head and hope that it goes away, but it didn't. Hmm. But what happened was he was on a combat mission. Near the end of the mission, some Marines were calling for help on the radio. Nick was a vehicle commander, so he was in charge of a Marine gunship, basically, which is an armored Humvee, not an MRAP. They had switched vehicles, and he was in an armored Humvee, which is a heavily armored vehicle. And as they were going to help these other Marines, it rolled over a bomb. And the explosion was massive, and the driver, Jeremy Lasher, who was a Lance Corporal, 27 years old, from New York, he was killed instantly. Nick was in the right front seat. He was the vehicle commander. He was trapped in the vehicle. The gunner who was standing up, you know, in the turret, his name is Dominic Davila from Chicago, 21. He lived, thank God. He lost his leg, but he lived. And the corpsman in the back, the Navy corpsman, the doc, lived too, Trevor Parr from Florida. He suffered some facial and brain injuries and both of his feet. But so two lived, and the driver died right away. But Nick was trapped in there, and you know, we found out later that they got him out, and they flew him to a nearby, basically a surgical tent. And he fought on for 3 hours. You know, since he died, I got to meet the actual people that were there. And they told me that he fought and fought and fought, and he just, the injuries were too serious.
Lieutenant Exaros, if I understand correctly, you know, you had mentioned that Nick actually had a chance to meet President Obama before he went to Afghanistan. And then after Nick's death, you met the president.
Yes.
What was that meeting like?
Oh, boy, you know. If it was for any other reason, it would have been, you know, happy and a proud moment to meet, you know, the President of the United States and his wife. And, of course, it still is a proud moment, but it was, you know, somber. My wife and three other children, Alex, who's 20 now, and my twin daughters, Elizabeth and Ashlyn, who are 16. You know, we were all brought to Otis Air Force Base here on the Cape. We were secured in a room. We were searched and secured in a room and guarded. And then, you know, a short while later, here walks in the President of the United States and his wife. And they were so warm and genuine, you know, hugged us. And, you know, there was a mixture of fun. You know, he was asking how the girls were doing in school and how Alex was doing. And he was very warm and genuine. And then, you know, he got down to business. And, you know, at that time, that was August, he asked us our thoughts about what to do, you know, in Afghanistan. And he told us that when he makes decisions, which he was in the middle of making a big decision on whether or not to really, you know, add more troops and push the mission, he said he thinks about people like Nick.
Well, what did you tell him, Lieutenant? I mean, when he asked you about what to do in Afghanistan?
We told him to stay in the fight and keep doing what he's doing and do it right and bring it to an end. And that's not easy to say, you know, because we know the cost of freedom. And I wouldn't wish this on anyone.
Mm-hmm. Lieutenant, just one last question for you. It's been less than a year since Nick passed away. Probably to you it feels like it just happened yesterday.
Yes.
And it'll probably feel like that, I guess, for a long, long time to come. But how are you doing? How's your family doing on this Memorial Day?
Yeah, good question. You know, you have ups and downs. You know, we go through grief just like anyone else, you know, and we're not alone. We have tons of support. And we're not the only ones, you know. There's eight fallen heroes from Cape Cod and of course many more from all over the country, and there's also thousands of wounded like Vincent Mannion Broder, who's 22 and from Barnstable, who played football against Nick, and he has serious brain injuries, and we've met him and his family. So we stay busy. We help others. We help less fortunate. We do the best we can to educate fellow Americans to be proud and make sure they thank our veterans for our freedom. But when things are quiet, or, you know, on rainy days especially, it's very difficult. There's just a sense of emptiness that we learn to live with.
Well, Lieutenant Exaros, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us and for sharing the story of your son with us as well.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Before we go on this Memorial Day, the other Massachusetts service members who gave their lives in the wars in Iraq or Afghanistan since last Memorial Day include Marine Sergeant Joshua DeForge of Ludlow, Army Master Sergeant Kevin DuPont of Templeton, Marine Captain Eric Jones, who graduated from Northeastern University, Army Staff Sergeant Matthew Pacino of Plymouth, Army Sergeant Benjamin Sherman, also of Plymouth, Army Specialist Jordan Shea from Salisbury, and Marine Captain Kyle Vandegeisen of North Attleboro. We leave you at the funeral of Lieutenant Richard Loring, who was laid to rest in his hometown of Carver, Massachusetts, earlier this month. He was classified as missing for 66 years. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. Our program is produced by Adam Ragusea, Jessica Alpert, and Dan Mozzie. Our interns are Megan Kane, Talia Ralph, and Hugh Roberts. Our web reporter is Andrew Phelps. Tim Skog is our technical director. The senior producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin. Iris Adler is our executive producer. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.